When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolized Dominic Hasek. I played goalie because of Dominic Hasek. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry, I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mic, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 45 of Two Goalies, One Mic. I'm your host, Johnny Cullen, joined alongside Dwayne Steinel, as always. Dwayne, the NHL season is upon us. After much waiting, the Sabres made their much-anticipated season debut. Not the result we hoped for. A back-to-back series against, 2 years ago, the Stanley Cup champs, Washington Capitals. That first game, it was a bit sloppy. I knew it was going to be, Dwayne. With no training camp, but we really were not a good hockey club that first skate. Your thoughts on the opening weekend here? It's good to have you, buddy.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to have hockey, Sabres hockey back, especially. They came out flat there in the beginning of the first game. They scored 4 goals, yeah, but the result was, goaltending was a huge issue. Carter Hutton did not look good at all. He didn't look ready. I don't care how great the guy looked in training camp. I still don't understand the decision with coaching to start your backup and not your starter to lead off the season.
Well, and who is our starter?
Huh?
Who's our starter? Is he? Hutton? I don't think he came out and say that. Oh, okay.
Hutton? No.
Is that your point that he shouldn't
be? Olmark should be the starter. Okay. Hutton isn't the starter. Olmark's your starter. I think that was proven even more so, during the season opener. He let a muffin in from the point. He didn't look very good. He had spots where he looked okay, but you need your goalie to make a save. And there were two times in that game where we scored to get momentum back, and then 30 seconds later, Washington comes down and scores again.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. The NHL, especially early on, even into the playoffs, it's a momentum league. And like you said, there's going to be breakdowns. There's going to be goals. Without it, hockey wouldn't be played. But a lot of times it comes down to that goalie and, making that save at the right time to help your team. And you're right. I think that there's a couple, I think one or two of the goals, they were good goals, but it's those ones that you need that save. And for me, you go to that second goal, like you talked about, I know it's a power play. I thought at first it was a deflection, but that we started flat, Dwayne. They obviously score. But then that power play, beautiful. Our first power play of the year, maybe second. In that first period, Hall picks up a beautiful – that just the movement was great. You know what I mean? I like Hall as that bumper guy. We score that goal, right?
Yep.
And then the next shift, 5-on-5, we looked really good. Like you said, we needed that momentum. And sure enough, we take a penalty on the power play. Or on our penalty kill, we let in a soft goal. And I feel like that shifted back, the momentum shifted back to the Capitals. And I think that happened a couple times.
That's one of the worst things you could happen in hockey is, you never like to see that happen once in a game where you get momentum back and you let a goal in almost immediately right after. You can't let it happen twice. Not the same.
Three times you can argue, right?
Yeah, it kills any momentum you just gained back. You need your goalie to make a save for you sometimes. And I hate to say it, but you also need your, like you said it last episode when we had EJ Redick on, you need your goalie also to be your best penalty killer too.
Clearly wasn't there.
Hutton's not that guy. You need, and I just don't, I'll never agree. And us as goalies too, we want to play as often as possible. I'll never agree with this coaching mindset that you have to play both your goalies in a back-to-back situation. You just had a 9-month layoff. These are professional athletes. They're the best at their positions and playing in the best league in the world. You're telling me Linus Olmark could not play in a back-to-back situation to lead off the season against a team that, in my opinion, is going to be one of those teams you're going to be fighting for that third or fourth spot in this division. You know, and honestly, the most difficult division, the Mass Mutual East Division, the most difficult Mass division.
Mutual. Oh, it says it on the NHL site too. The Mass yeah. Mutual East. I love it. Oh, it's Mass crazy. Mutual
East Division, and it's the toughest division I think in the entire league right now. You need as many points wherever and whenever you can get them, and you cannot leave two games like that on the table. I truly believe you start Olmark in the season opener, you win that game. You scored four goals. It's not like you didn't score. You scored four. You start Olmark in that game, you come out with a win, and then you have some swagger, you have some confidence, go into that second game. You start Olmark again, you let him pick up where he left off, and hopefully come out with a second W and start the season off 2-0. Instead, you're 0-2 going into probably the team that's might contend to win this entire division.
Philadelphia, the Philadelphia bandwagon.
Yeah, you're realistically looking at an 0-4 start here because that's a tough team. And they're starting Carter Hart tonight, possibly the best young goalie in the entire league.
I have 2 points to make. I think that and I think it's going to be tough for goalies to play a lot of back-to-backs this year just because there's so many of them. But it's an inevitability, right, because there are so many back-to-backs. And like you said, you want to find your rhythm. As a goalie, you always want to be in the net. But with the schedule the way it was, you have 2 games and then 2 days off. You're not going to have 2 days off often this year in this league, right? That's nope. A rarity. So I think you do have a point there. At first I was saying, but I think to play devil's advocate, I think if you're Ralph Kruger, you want to see what you have. I think it was probably a coin flip to see who played. I know some coaches say, hey, whoever played better in training camp or the preseason gets the first start. It's just, we weren't there in the building this year with that. With that being said, Philadelphia, for those that don't know, I started, you know, I was always a Sabres fan, never really had another favorite team. Outside of Goldberg being a Philadelphia native, I was never a Flyers fan. Started following them a little bit more when Kevin Hayes got traded there. Just listening to him on Spittin' Chiclets and him being an American. Started watching them a little bit more. Having him tell stories about Jacob Voracek or Jakey really cracked me up. And I kind of fell in love with that team last year. I got to work a lot with Carter Hart's goalie coach. He's based out of Pittsburgh. And he got a cool insight into Carter Hart. I was there when he FaceTimed him a couple times. I got to say hello once. He has no idea who I am. He's like, who's that pigeon? They actually did the old show Cribs.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Flyers on their YouTube did an episode of Cribs with Carter Hart. And you see my buddy Cliffy, the goalie coach, just sitting in there on the couch it was funny. Anyways, for those that don't know, there's going to be a new addition to the jersey wall behind Dwayne in our studio. And I wasn't sure what to get. My original thought was a 79 Carter Hart orange Flyers jersey. And that would have been a good choice, Dwayne. Up and coming goalie. We have officially decided to go with a royal blue Sabres jersey, and it's going to be a surprise who's on it. We'll accept all guesses, but it'll be in a month, Dwayne?
Yeah, roughly a month it'll be in.
So that'll be fun to see. But no, back to your point. Listen, it was tough to see in that first game you not get the goaltending that you so desperately need. We've said it almost with every guest we've had on, and it goes back to your point of, we didn't make any moves, and that's starting to look more and more like a head scratcher. Listen, it's early. They've both had one start. I liked a little bit more what I saw from Olmark in the second game. If he can carry us and be a starter and play 75-80% of games, even in the shortened season, maybe it's a non-issue moving forward, or maybe it's something we don't talk about. But also in that first game, another thing I liked to see, Cousins looked good, man. Cousins looked good. And he got better and better as the game went on. Sometimes you see with those rookies coming in as underagers, they look lost sometimes that first couple games. I thought he played really great. Well. Your thoughts on Dylan Cousins?
Cousins looked great both games. He looked confident. He didn't look nervous. He didn't look timid. He didn't play on his heels. He looked good. He looked ready for the NHL. You know, I would have liked to see more out of Stahl, especially with that bad giveaway of his in the it was pretty terrible that led to the Backstrom goal. No, it wasn't the Backstrom. I forget who scored it, but it was a bad giveaway in that first game by Stahl, real momentum shifter. But again,
can I break that down real quick?
Yeah.
So one thing that I thought the Sabres struggled with early is establishing their forecheck. It felt like at points that because we were getting trapped in our defensive zone for extended amounts of time, by the time we did get into the neutral zone and get the puck in deep, we had to change. And obviously in the first period, it's you know, once you're closer to your own net. I felt like every time that we were able to get possession through into the neutral zone, it would get in behind their D, yes, but we wouldn't have any sustained pressure. And Washington kept it simple. They made great first passes. They got moving north. And I felt like that was the tail of the tape for the first couple periods. And one thing Washington did really well on the flip side of that is when they did have to dump the puck in, they got it behind our D. They had a good F1 pressure, but also they activated their F2. They were running more of a, you know, I don't want to say a 2-1-2, but it was a very aggressive 1-2-2, meaning that second forward really came in, taking away that D-to-D pass and causing turnovers. That's something that we didn't do the first game that I thought we started to do more of in the second game. But Washington just looked like a veteran team, making the easy plays and taking away our forecheck. And you have no forecheck, you don't get extended of zone times, you don't get in zone starts. I thought that, at least to me, was a big part. But back to the stall goal, that's a tough one, right? And, yep. and I brought up the point about the forecheck because F1 comes in, the puck's on, who has that, Hutton's blocker side. He bumps it D to D, or maybe he got around the net and passed it right to Stahl, the center. Stahl catches it, right? And instead of, you know, Bob Bugner, I tweeted this. Bob Bugner always used to say to us on the breakout, when in doubt, Dwayne, glassing out. All right. Stahl catches it, stick handles. So then it's on, you know, as he stick handles, F2's right there, poke check, turnover in the back of our net. If I'm Stahl there, I'd like to see him catch it, just go off the wall, live to fight another day. If you don't have a direct pass to the winger, just get it out into the neutral zone, right? Instead, he overhandles it, Dwayne. And that was a big goal.
It tries to make a backhand sauce pass. It gets picked
through
off.
Through the middle.
You never do that. And especially when you're a veteran, you don't do that. That was surprising for me. Like I said, I'd like to see a little bit more out of Eric Stahl for sure. Sam Reinhart hasn't been that impressive playing off the top line. You need to see more out of him if you expect this team, this franchise, this management to pay him, you know, what he expects to get paid.
He's in a contract year. I think this might be his first UFA year.
Yep. And I need more out of him, man. And, you know, we just can't be just, well, it's not working out in the second line or the third line with Sam Reinhart, so I guess we're putting him back with Jack. It's like, you know, but you don't want to, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, how many times in the past in this league have you seen just really average at best players play on a top line and produce, and you not have to pay them a boatload of money? You know, I don't want to pay Sam Reinhart $6.5 to $8 million a year when he can only produce with one player, when analytics say he should be able to produce on his own line and drive his own line.
So that's, you know what, you bring up a really interesting point that I think, you know, we're going to delve into here. A lot of pushback from the fans on Ralph Kruger's usage of the lines. And obviously, you know, you have some new bodies in here. I'm not jealous of what he's going through in my brief time as a head coach, coaching junior hockeys, which is a completely different animal than the National League. I know that was where I felt the most pressure. You know, how do I get the most out of my guys? Who do I put them with? We saw Thompson start with Hall and Eichel. And although I like Thompson's game, he's doing much better than I thought he was. He's a big guy that's, you know, not overly fast, but he's not super slow for a big guy. He's got a great reach. I think he'll be a good player for us. I just don't like him with Hall and Eichel. I think we saw towards the second game, I think you saw Reinhart jump in with them. And that's where I get your point. Why should we reward him and, you know, punish Jeff Skinner? I'd like to see somebody create that chemistry with Taylor Hall and Jack Eichel. With that being said, Dwayne, I think it's going to take time. You don't see it in one game. So it's just very hard from the coach's perspective. You know, sometimes it takes 2-3 games for things to get going. I like how in years past you have the preseason and whatnot. Who would you like to see with Hall and Eichel?
Skinner. Honestly, Skinner. I know he played off on his off wing, but at what point? And Skinner was the best forward on the ice for Buffalo yesterday, playing on the fourth line or 2 nights ago.
In the second game, he was, right?
100%.
My argument was this: when people were calling for Kruger's head before the season even started, I'd like to know, and they're not going to say it, there was a reason he was on the fourth line. Okay. Whether it was he came in, you know, maybe out of shape, or he came in, you know, acting like he was a Bobby Big Wheels, that he should be because of the contract. A lot of, we forget, a lot of guys, like they, everybody knows what each other makes, right? And yep. Some guys feel like that's your value to the team. And that's not the case, right? And so I think that Ralph had a reason, right? We don't know that reason. I could be wrong. Maybe he just thinks Skinner's a piece of shit and everybody's right on Twitter. But I really liked what I saw from Skinner in the second game. And I'd like to see him either jump on that.
It was all individual.
And you saw one or two shifts. You saw Ralph move him up to play with, I think, Stahl or what, maybe
after
he Sam got moved off his fourth line. Yeah.
Sam got hurt for a bit there, and they put him out there. Yeah.
So, I mean,
Hall was hurt. He took a puck to the upper lip, and they put him up on that top line with Sam and Jack, or was it Tage and Jack? They took Tage out the first line. I know that.
But you know, you were right. In Friday's game, the second game of the weekend, he was buzzing. He drew two penalties. He had a glorious chance. I forget his name, the Washington goaltender that played Friday. He's a new guy in the league.
Varacek or something like that. Varacek or something like that.
He was very good. Vitek Vanacek.
Vanacek, not Varacek. And
I'm telling you, he's not super, you know, it's a little unorthodox at times. Do you remember the one play, beautiful rebound in front? I think it was, I don't know what period it was. I apologize. Second period, maybe. Right on the tape of the forward in front, he pushes right at him instead of going back to the post on an angle. And we wait, and we end up going all the way around the net, don't even get a shot. That to me was great. He made the saves he needed to make. You know what I mean? And he was very good. I think that was a story too. You ran into, and I think the Sabres did this a lot. You run into a hot goalie, you make the goalie look better than he is. And hey, I'm a goalie too. I respect it. Hate to see these goalies play well, but that's his debut in the National League. He spent 5 years in the minors. You know, obviously Holtby was there. What's it called? Samsonov obviously was there last year, and he, you know, it's tough, but he stopped the first 26 shots he faced.
He did. And you know what? I won't take anything away from the kid. I think Buffalo kind of made it easy for him too. You know, there weren't a ton of, you know, very dangerous chances, high percentage chances. I saw a lot of individual effort out of Jeff Skinner that night, and I thought he deserved to be awarded. And maybe you can call being put on that first line being awarded when Hall got hurt. But, you know, then you saw practice lines yesterday, and they had Casey Mittelstadt on the top line. Grant, Sam got hurt and he's questionable for night. It looks like he's going to play, but why? I understand he's just filmed, but why are you awarding a guy who came to camp not ready in practice rather than awarding somebody an opportunity to play in the top line, play with Jack, like a play.
Here's
with
my him. Answer to that. I think it was looked at. They know more than we do. They know that Sam's going to be in the lineup instead of screwing up all the lines just for one practice. I think Casey Mittelstadt was just a placeholder. So you could keep every other line together, you know what I mean, for that practice.
Yeah, it's just I just want to see guys get awarded for when they play well. And
well, is that a reward, practicing with a line that you're not going to play with?
At least show in practice that it could work.
My point is this: Reinhardt didn't practice, right?
Yeah,
Reinhardt is slotted on that line with Eichel and
Hall. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm willing to bet he is, because that's the reason why Mittelstadt was put there. Because they didn't want us. That's the lineup going forward, except Mittelstadt is going to come out and Reinhardt's going to play. I think that's why we saw that in practice. That's a smart coaching move. I guess so, man.
I just don't think it's a very smart coaching move to be paying your one of your best goal scorers, you know, playing him 8 minutes a night on your fourth line.
Well, it was closer to 12, 13, but I agree with you there. I'm not saying that. I don't want to see him on
the board. Well, that's because we had five power plays that we didn't capitalize on. He got some power play time, but
well, he's also on the second unit, and they're not getting much. The first unit's playing 1-1-30. I agree with you, Dwayne. I don't think he should be on the fourth line, But I when people saw that Mittelstadt thing, I think they were reacting to nothing that what something that wasn't there. My point is this: if you know Reinhardt's going to play and he's just out for that practice, why change all the lines? Because, like I said, you need You need familiarity. You need time with your line, right? It's early in the season, correct?
I don't disagree with you.
So why blow up all the lines for the one practice before the games when you could just pop in Mittelstadt there, knowing Reinhardt's going to take that spot? You know, we haven't seen an extended look with Reinhardt, Hall, and Eichel. Maybe they're lights out, dude. I don't know. Maybe Skinner's the guy that goes there. Who knows? Maybe Cousins is. I don't know. But I just, kind of, for so long, Dwayne,
Cousins was promoted to the second line.
For so long, my point is this, for so long, the Sabres have been a one-line team where a big drop-off into that third, fourth, even the second line. I liked, you know, me and you had that exercise a couple months ago playing around with possible lines. I would love for us to have a more balanced attack. I think, you know, priority one's got to be finding somebody that fits in well with Hall and Eichel. And then from there, you start to figure other things out, right?
Correct.
So you're saying you think it's Skinner. I didn't like what I saw from Thompson. I think you gotta play around with something else. Cause I think with a big body, he can do well with Eakin in them.
He overhandles the puck. He's doing the same shit he did last year, overhandling the puck.
Like, I just don't think he plays with enough speed through the neutral zone for Hall and Eichel. But you gotta remember there's only one puck out there at a time. You know,
in the neutral zone, Buffalo got dominated in the neutral zone that first game. Dominated.
Absolutely. One point I saw somebody make is that wrist the line every time instead of hitting, you know, as they broke out, wrist the line, and instead of moving it to Eichel, you know, when he had speed before he gets like right before the neutral zone, or Hall streaking down the boards on the backside, he would hold on to it, and then force a pass when a guy's right on top of him and they have to chip it anyways. Yep. Let's get the puck to those guys early and let them do what they do best. Attack them with speed. So we're not just giving away possessions, you know. That line needs possession. Agreed?
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just perplexed. We really need a win tonight, man. We need a W. You can't start the season off 0-3 because we made a good point of it earlier in the week that in a condensed season like this, you know, and the division we're in, starting off 0-2 is almost like starting off 0-3. You know, you're already that far behind the eight ball, behind other teams, and you lost two games to a team that, again, that I mentioned earlier in the show, you're probably going to have to compete with for one of those last playoff spots. And their goaltending situation isn't the greatest. You look at teams like Boston. I think Boston, you know, might be a team that could be on the outside looking in, just like us in Washington. New Jersey, definitely. Pittsburgh, definitely. We need to start getting points wherever we possibly can. And I can't agree with playing Jeff Skinner on a bottom line, man. I can't.
Dude, I'm with you 100% on that. I think that he's a top six forward. You just got to find to do it the right way. You know, obviously, like, my point that I think has been lost is he obviously did something wrong or pissed somebody off or came in with the wrong attitude. Ralph Kruger strikes me as a guy that does something. Everything
for the second season, right? For the second season.
Buddy, like, there's got to be something there that we're not seeing. I just, Ralph Kruger doesn't strike me as a guy that's just going to hold grudges and be a dick about, you know what I mean? As much as everybody wants to think that. He's a smart guy.
I wish he would just come out and just be more transparent about it. Like,
part of it. If you're Jeff Skinner and you did something, maybe he was late to a meeting. Would you want that out in the public?
I would, I don't know. I don't think you punish a player this long, you know, dating back just for being late to a meeting. There's something else there, man. I can't agree with it. You know, I'm not trying to be that stereotypical over the top Sabres fan that, you know, just blows things out of proportion. I just see a guy who's been one of the better 5-on-5 players in this league for a long time being buried on the fourth line, not getting the minutes he should be getting
for a long time.
He's been one of the better 5-on-5 goal scorers in quite some time, Cully. He has been.
If you said 5-on-5 goal scorer, I could have went with that.
Well, yeah.
Overall play. I know I'm nitpicking that. I'm sorry. I'm just I'm not a big
guy. You know what I mean? You don't bury that guy. You don't – I mean, was Jaromír Jágr the best player defensively? I know it's a terrible comparison, but are you going to bury Jaromír Jágr on your fourth line because he doesn't play well? No, you're not.
But Jaromir Jagr did more things better than Skinner did. Skinner.
Well, I know it's not a great comparison. Just throwing a name out there, but you know, you don't bury players who just do just are there on yeah. score goals. I agree.
Here's my question. I look at so your third line right now is Tobias Ryder at left wing, Cody Eakin at center, Tage Thompson at right wing. Okay.
Correct.
Your fourth line is Jeff Skinner, Curtis Lazar, Riley Sheehan. Outside of Sheehan being the worst player there, I don't see a huge difference besides third, fourth line, right? I get it. But when you're rolling lines, you're more close to each other. If on the third line, would you still be upset?
Third line? No, because like I think he's got a better center to play with.
You'd be more upset?
I think he'd have a better center to play with. I think.
Okay, fair enough. I love Curtis.
I wouldn't mind seeing him playing with Dylan Cousins. That's more speed on that line, at least.
So here's my question. So who's getting bumped out of the top six? You want Sam Reinhart down on the third line?
100%. Yeah, because he's the guy that, if all the analytics nerds are correct, like he's the guy that out of all those guys can play a role outside your top six and still be productive and drive his own line from the wing.
I believe there's a place for analytics in hockey. I really do. But I think when they make that conclusion that, oh, he has these numbers, his Corsi 4, whatever it is, right? I don't pretend to understand it completely. For them to just assume that he should be able to drive his own line, I think it's got to pass the eye test. Who's Sam Reinhart been playing with the past 2-3 years?
Jack Eichel.
So because he's done well with Eichel, we're saying that the numbers say that he should be able to do it by himself. I'm not saying he shouldn't. I'm just saying I hate that analytics crowd draws that. And if I'm wrong, tell me, folks. If you understand the analytics and I'm drawing the wrong conclusion, I don't know. I'm not saying Sam Reinhart can't. I guess, dude, this is what I meant. This is something I really struggle with as a head coach, forming the lineup, second-guessing myself, having, you know, doubting that if this guy did something well with that guy, you know what I mean? It's tough, man. It's really tough. Looking at this lineup, I've been staring at it. It's going to be interesting to see where it is. I wouldn't mind seeing Victor Olofsson jump in with a Hall and Eichel, right? And then, you know, maybe Jeff Skinner, Eric Staal, and Dylan Cousins. And then you can play around with, you got Reinhart, Cody Eakin, Thompson. You know what I mean? Like that to me looks like a lot better lineup. And would you be as upset if that Skinner was on the third line there in that scenario?
No, I would be a little bit happier because at least he's getting more power. He's getting more ice time outside of the power play. You know, I'd imagine if you're putting him on your third line, he's probably at least getting 15 minutes a night, 16 minutes a night. That's better than 10 to 11.
So one thing I want to touch on really quick before we get into the Flyers and what's going on there, what we need to do. I've really liked, I know they're not putting up tons of points, but no, they did have that Lazar, I think it was Tobias Reeder made a really good play in the first game down low, winning the turnover, that wraparound goal. Love that. That's what you need from them.
Great goal. It's a dirty goal. You got to get in those areas.
Cody Eakin has done his job. He hasn't been a minus player, right? Like, I think those pickups, although they're not super sexy, I like what they've done so far. Have you?
I have, yeah. I have no reason to complain about Cody Eakin. He hasn't hurt us. I think defensively, guys like Brandon Montour have been killing us. That first game with Hutton killed us. Surprisingly, analytically, Rasmus Ristolainen has been the best player Corsi-wise.
This is when you wonder why I doubt analytics sometimes.
Yeah, you know, he's been the best one. And he actually played two decent games. Dahlin struggled in that second game, but he just turned 20 years old. He's still trying to. He came in 16 pounds heavier, all muscle. He's still trying to figure out how to use that size and that
weight. That's where I wish we had a normal training camp, because I feel like that would have been perfect time for him, right?
Yeah, me too, man, because we have so many new faces in this lineup, and you only have
Dwayne, if you could say that to everybody on Twitter, I'd be so happy. Say that again.
If you have so many new faces in this lineup, and you had like 12 days, 13 days to get them acclimated with each other on the ice together for the first time, it takes time. And, you know, I would have liked to have seen them not come out so flat in that first game. Because we all had the same, you know, most teams had the same, you know, same amount of time to prepare for the season. Not just the Sabres, but I think we have more new faces in our lineup than most other teams. But I've been very disappointed defensively what I've seen. And I've been pr- preaching that now for how long? Defensively, we need to add it. We should have added another piece. Not Matt Irwin to sit in the press box, be a depth guy. You should have added another stay-at-home defenseman, a guy to play well defensively, not just be a puck carrier, not to be a threat offensively. We needed a guy to really bring stability to blue time, to the blue line, and I think to take some pressure off Rasmus Dahlin, because Dahlin's in a very important year in his career. I think this is the last year of his entry-level deal. You're going to have to pay this guy a ton of money next year. You want to see him take the right steps this season, and you're not going to get that from playing him with who they got him with. Brandon Montour. Yes. Brandon Montour has been a train wreck the last two games.
Yeah.
That first goal that Backstrom scored, he literally sat on his heels and backed into his own zone and didn't even attempt to get a stick on the puck here. It might've been Ovechkin. If you just get a stick on him or a body on him, that puck probably doesn't make it over to Backstrom, who's alone in front of the net. Just get a body on him. Do something. Did nothing. He let him skate around him. He might as well have been a pylon. I'm sorry, man. You should not. If you're in the NHL. You're in the NHL. You're in the National, dude. Like, put a body on him. If I'm Ralph Kruger, after seeing that, I put him on the bench the rest of the game, and he's sitting in the press box the second game.
Don't have that depth on D. Hey, how nice would it be to have Lawrence Pilot still here? I don't know. I always liked him. I'm sorry to bring him up, but yeah, Montour had a tough one. Our whole decor had a tough one. We don't have enough. The way Ralph Kruger likes to coach, you want your defense involved in the play, right? I thought Washington D did a good job of that, especially Carlson jumping in, Dwayne.
Yep.
Outside of Dahlin, who does that well?
Jumping into the play, you would hope Montour. You would hope. Yeah, that's why you brought him here to begin with. I think Henry Jokiharju, not nearly as good as Dahlin does, but he can be counted on to do that. And then I guess Ristolainen.
So here's my concern. Like you said, it takes time for everybody to gel, right? And you want to see that. You want to see that sooner rather than later in this shortened season, right?
Yep. Bad news.
What?
Sabres just announced we have recalled goaltender Jonas Johansson from our taxi squad. Goaltender Linus Omark will miss tonight's game against Philadelphia for personal reasons. That means we're getting Carter Hutton tonight.
Yikes. Well, hey.
Nothing like bouncing
back after you're playing the best team in the league, in my opinion. So here's one quick note on Philadelphia. They are leading the league with 11 goals. They dominated Pittsburgh in back-to-back games, right? They were very good, okay? And they are first in the league in the power play too, okay? So one thing is, you have to stay disciplined, okay? But when you look at Philly's lineup, their one saving grace could be that Sean Couturier is out for a couple weeks, okay? Their top center. He's been, in my opinion, the best defensive center in the league, the best two-way center. Did he win the Selke last year? I think he did. I think it was his first. I could be wrong. He should have won it.
He was a candidate, I believe. O'Reilly was a candidate for sure. I forget who won it.
But still, my point is this. Even with him out, they still have a dangerous lineup. Claude Giroux, although he's been getting older and not as dominant, he's still a premier guy in this league, right? I think he's still in the top 20 left wings in the league. Okay. Kevin Hayes has been bumped up to that first line. Like I said, I won't be rooting for him tonight, but I'm a huge Kevin Hayes guy. I think he is the modern day power forward that can still get up and down the ice. He kills penalties for you. He's good on the power play. He plays with Jam, and he's a great teammate. And then Joel Farabee has been another young guy. Dwayne, look at how well Philly has done through the draft. They have a lot of guys. They've hit on most of their first round picks. You see it all throughout their lineup. And they've also hit on some second and third rounders. They've done a great job developing. You got Van Riemsdyk, Nolan Patrick's coming back. That's a really interesting story. Remember how he missed all last year with migraines?
Yep.
He's back. He's playing well. And Jakey Voracek has been doing Jakey things. Real quick, you saw that press conference, right?
Oh, that was great. That was fantastic.
Anybody that hasn't, please watch it. That I looked into it because I was curious why he went at him. That reporter is a crumb. He's been stirring the pot, writing speculative articles, trying to create stuff that isn't there. Just do your job, buddy. I get it. You have to have opinionated pieces, but don't create storms that aren't there. And then the biggest thing, Travis Konecny on the third line with Oscar Lindbaum, couple clicks for Oscar, beating cancer. Love to see it. Love to see it, Dwayne. And Morgan Frost is centering them. Konecny really stepped up, played well. He's one of my favorite players. just a little rap that can shoot, that can kill penalties. He'll get in your face, finish hits. He got a hat trick against Pittsburgh. Some nice goals there. So you got to slow them down. And hopefully we see Carter, or actually, I hope we don't see Carter Hart. I mean, I just want to watch him play, but I think he's the Patrick Waugh of this generation. I think he's going to be good for a long time. Really like his game. Fundamentally solid. He moves well cross crease. He battles when he needs to, but most importantly, he's calm. He's in control. He's been very consistent, which our goalies have it. Your thoughts on what the Sabres need to do well here going into Philly?
Special teams has to improve. You cannot get beat. You can't go 0-5 on the power play again. You got to improve your penalty kill. You know, those two in particular, I think, especially against a team like Philadelphia, that you're not going to get many chances to score on Carter Hart with the way he's playing. So any opportunity you got on the power play with that first unit, you have to bury it.
I agree. So I liked our power play in the first game. Some good movement. You liked what you saw, 1-for-3. It was abysmal the next night. And I think it had a lot to do, you know, we really struggled with our entries, right? When we were in zone, we were okay, but I don't know if it was shot selection. I don't know if it was rushing it, not winning battles, outnumbering the puck down low when it was loose. We couldn't seem to get sustained pressure. And I think with that group, that first group, Dwayne, I think they're going to have success when they can keep teams in there for 45 seconds, you know, really working around, get guys tired on the PK. I think that's when you'll have lanes opening up. I think Taylor Hall does a tremendous job as the bumper guy in the middle. Because, you know, when you go from the top over to Eichel and Eichel moves it across to Olofsson, at that point, you should have them spread out enough where that defenseman or bottom PK guy has to choose between covering Hall driving to the middle of the net or who is it? Sam down low. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Yep. I think that's what you saw in the first goal. And I just don't think you really saw that much after that. The more you do that, the more you beat him with that play, that's going to open up room for Dahlin to bump it to Eichel for a 1-T or bump it to Olofsson. You know, we saw last year when Dahlin bumps it over to Eichel who hits it through the seam to Olofsson, 1-T goal. I think the more that you beat them down low, you open up that, you know, that seam pass. All right. With that being said, they really struggled on Friday, 0-for-5, like I said. And then another thing, Dwayne, is going to be, you know, discipline here. You're going against the league's top power play. They've done a really good job, man.
Yeah, they have.
So, you know what sucks, though? You know, I know it's two games into the year. If you go to the NHL site and you look at the Mass Mutual East Division, the lowly Sabres sitting at the bottom of the group. And even Pittsburgh, they started 0-2 against Philly, right? They came back and they beat Washington in a shootout. And here's the one thing. As in this shortened season, when you're only playing your division, you don't want to see any games go to overtime. I love OT, right? So do you?
Correct. I love.
So I found myself watching that Pittsburgh-Washington game, like tie game, 10 minutes left in the third. I'm like, oh, I want to see it go to OT until I realized they're both in this division. That extra point in your division is going to suck this year. So Pittsburgh got the win there. And them beating Washington after getting swept by Philly, our next opponent, didn't make me feel too confident. Granted, Casey DeSmith did play well for Pittsburgh. But I don't know. Dwayne, in the last 10 minutes here, before I got to hop back on the ice, there's been some interesting rumors going around with Pierre-Luc Dubois in Columbus. I just want to tee you up for that. What happened? What's going on? For those that don't know, fill us in here.
A few days ago, Darren Drager was on with the Instigators WGR, and he flat out said that I don't know the exact context of the conversation leading into it. But he said that he flat out said that Kevin Adams has contacted both Columbus and Florida about Pierre-Luc Dubois and Alexander Barkov. And, you know, obviously in terms of Dubois, you're going to, if you're a good GM, you're calling to see what it takes and see what they're looking for. Just you're doing your job as a GM. But the fact that he came out and flat out said it, I think holds a little bit of weight. You know, you haven't heard teams specifically being named out there as contacting. I mean, you can assume, but being flat out said to have contacted either of these teams and you know, having a guy like us insider, like Darren Drager, flat out say like, yeah, Kevin Adams has called both teams about these players. I think it holds a little weight. I know you're doing your job as a GM, if you know, regardless, but I like to hear those things out of my GM, especially when you start off 0-2 and you're looking to fix issues because we haven't seen that from our GM in the past.
So you mentioned Darren Dreger brought it up. You brought up a good point. You want your GM making those calls. I think in the years past, maybe we haven't. I don't know how often it happens, how often it doesn't. We always hear, love that the instigators bring on Darren Dreger. I used to hate Dregs. I think I've kind of grown on him more and more. Dwayne, what would it take for us to get Pierre-Luc Dubois in your eyes? And part two of that question is, what are you drinking right now? That looks awful good.
Well, before we get into the what would it take, I'm actually drinking. It is from Froth Brewing Company right here in Buffalo, New York. Liquid Lollipop. We have the orange mango fluff flavor. They just dropped it. It is a smoothie in a can. A little bit of alcohol in it. 6.5% to be exact. Unbelievable guys over at Froth Brewing. I highly suggest anybody get down there and check them out. These four packs, they are in limited supply, and it is
all boys too.
It's worth every penny, and you'll want to support your local businesses. So right here, Froth Brewing Company, downtown Buffalo. Tell them two goalies when Mike sent you. Tell them Dwayne and Coley from Two Goalies When Mike sent you. You know, I'm sure there'll be a stack to hear that. Pick myself up a hat too. I'm a big snapback guy.
Love it. So
definitely get there when you get a chance.
Where did you say they're located again?
Located downtown Buffalo, 700 Military Road in Buffalo, New York, guys.
You know, they do have a cool can design. 20 minutes for everything here. Support local businesses. Love to hear it. Froth Brewing, hit them up. Dwayne, 10 minutes left. What's it going to take for us to get Pierre-Luc Dubois?
You're going to have to pay a lot. I think it's going to take at least a Jack Quinn or a Dylan Cousins. I prefer to, I think I value Cousins over Quinn personally. I would like to see them deal Quinn in that deal. You're going to have to part with a first round pick. That's a given. And here's me personally. If you're dealing with Columbus, they have two good goaltenders on that team right now, both starting caliber goaltenders, and both Merzinkless and Korpisalo. I would love to see Korpisalo in a Buffalo uniform. I do think he's better than Ullmark. I do think that he could help you win games. Yeah, obviously I don't know if I'd call him elite, but he's gonna help you win hockey games.
Yeah,
you know.
A couple of those games in the playoff.
My god, it went 60 save performance. It was insane.
Dwayne, he's got hips and flexibility like Gumby does, dude.
Unbelievable.
The body should not be able to do those things. Does them very well.
He had a great game today against Detroit, 3-2 victory.
Yeah, he's a good goalie. And they play a more defensive style under Torts, but you saw there against Tampa, he got peppered and he's done his job. So you have Elvis Merlikins, who, 2 years ago in limited duties really struggled. Even at the beginning of last year, he struggled. And then out of nowhere, when Korpisalo got hurt, Elvis Merlikins went on a heater, was one of the best goalies in the league, finished with some great numbers. Some people were calling for him to get some Vezina votes. If you're Columbus, which one are you hanging on to, and why get rid of one now? And like you said, it's going to be tough to pry him out.
I think you hold on to Elvis just because he's younger, and I think there's a higher ceiling there. I think he is probably eventually will be the better goaltender, and he's cheaper. I think he's cheaper. I think they signed similar contracts, to be honest with you.
Yeah they're both in that 3-4 million range.
I would love to see that package deal with both Korpisalo and Dubois. Yeah. I mean, with the situation with the goaltending right now in Buffalo, I think you just have to try and find a way to bring a goaltender back along with Dubois. It's going to cost you a ton. But I think at the end it's worth it. I don't think you'd have to mortgage your franchise to do it.
It might. He's a top three. He's a third overall pick in 2017. Went back to juniors. Played. Had a dominant year there and came into
You're also sending him your first this year and another first round pick. It's not like you're sending him nothing. Those are two big things right there.
So Dubois had 48 points as a rookie. Then had 27 goals, 61 points the next year. With Panarin, and then without Panarin last year, dipped off a little bit. He only played 70 games, 18 goals, 49 points. But he was very good in that postseason for them. He's a Quebec native, just 22 years old, but he's a big boy, 6'3", 220. He plays with that physicality that you need with centers on defense, but it also, allows him to play well below the goal line on offense. Dwayne? I see some Ryan O'Reilly in him, okay? The ability to be a good two-way center with still, some offensive touch. And that's a player that obviously we have that hole since O'Reilly left. I think if you bring in an elite center like that, it's going to ripple down your lineup. And you know, a lot of these young forward, like Cousins, even though he's a natural centerman, I think he will be a centerman in due time, has the ability to play wing. I'm curious to see how Casey Mittelstadt does on the wing this year. Now, you know, he went, listen, as much as we shit on the guy, he did do well with the Americans last year. I haven't completely given up on him like others have. I'm back in, he had to earn it. But the fact that he's the first player called off the taxi squad shows something, right? With that being said, he signed a 2-year extension with only a $5 million cap hit. That's incredible. So that's good numbers for him. That's obviously would have been more if the pandemic didn't hit.
You could still fit that under your cap in a trade here for sure. I think if you're Kevin Adams, you have to be really kicking the tires on that, because I really believe, you know, you add both those pieces of this lineup, you're looking at a playoff contending team. I mean, that'll slide Eric Staal down to your third line center, Cody Eakin down to your fourth. Like, how about that depth at center?
Yeah, that looks really good. I just think it's going to be tough to get done. I think you're right. You have to give up a lot. Jack Quinn, probably another first and maybe another piece. I'm not sure. But hey, Dwayne, you'll keep us posted. Be sure to check out Two Goalies, One Mike, and at D Steinel.
At Two Goalies, One Mike, at DwayneS39.
Hey, you've been killing it on Twitter. You've been really staying on top of stuff.
We had the Josh Allen jersey giveaway. Nobody yet. I said 1,200 followers. I'm sticking to it. If I'm giving away a jersey, I want 1,200 followers. I think it's like 130 short right now. But you guys have been tearing it up. You guys have been following. You guys have been doing what we've asked. But you know, we got a little bit more here to go. We got a week to do it, and then I'll give that jersey away. We have two more jerseys to give away too. So the sooner I get rid of this Josh Allen jersey, the sooner we can get to the next two jersey giveaways. It's been a fun week here in Buffalo outside of the Sabres, obviously with the Bills, you know, making the AFC championship game.
That was huge. We haven't even talked about it. We got a couple minutes left here. Dwayne, it's been so long. It's so awesome.
You really feel from kind of like my generation, who has really lived through that drought, that terrible drought. You know, obviously my father and his generation, they got to experience Super Bowl years in their prime. You know, I'm not old enough to remember that. I was too young. But with that being said, it's exciting. I cannot wait for Sunday to see what happens with Kansas City, see if Patrick Mahomes does play. I know he had a concussion. But I'm excited, man. I am over the moon right now, and I really hope the Sabres can, you know, keep some momentum going here for us, because, you know, the city's a special place right now with how well the Bills are playing. I would like to see the Sabres continue that.
I love it. It's been fun to watch the Bills succeed. I'm hoping that Sabres can, listen, if this would be a huge, huge weekend or a two-game set to really turn your season around. You bounce back two wins, all right, against one of the top teams in the league, not just their division. Get you back to 500. What you don't want to do, and what we've seen in years past, is if you dig this hole early, especially in a shortened season, it's tough to climb out of that hole. I think it's even going to be exaggerated here. You got Flyers today, 7:30. Okay, this one's on NBC Sports. You got Flyers tomorrow at 7, and then you're back Friday against the Capitals. So if you can find a way to get three out of these 4 points, that'd be huge. Get some payback on the Capitals. It's going to be important. You need to see some progression. You can't dig yourself a hole this early this year. Hopefully we get some goaltending. Hopefully, you know, all is well with Allmark. You never like to hear that personal reason stuff, because that could be a ton of different things. So we're wishing him well. Any last thoughts here, Dwayne, before I kick it over to our sponsor here? Froth Brewing. This episode has been brought to you by Froth Brewing. Like Dwayne said, make sure you go check them out, support your local businesses. Hey, for those that didn't catch it, our little commercial from last weekend's episode, what is it? Butt Ends?
Butt Ends. Yeah. Butt Ends, located right here in Kenmore, New York. Another local business who's really caught fire over the years. There's some pretty cool ad promos they did with Tim Stutzla. You know, they supply him with their grips, along with a lot of other NHL players, including Akil Thomas. Exciting stuff for them. They're going to be hopefully continuing some content with us. I'm excited for that. And keep an eye out for Froth Brewing, man. Unbelievable beer. Again, I'm drinking the orange mango fluff flavor, the liquid lollipop, 6.5% alcohol content. You can go to find them at
that sounds intriguing.
Yep. www.frothbrewing.com or at Froth Brewing on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Unbelievable stuff, man. I'm going to have another one for the game here in a little bit. Just pick up your, again, you know, they're in limited supply, so keep your eye out on their social media handles. Follow them. You know, when they drop a new flavor, you want to get down there and get it right away because it's in limited supply. That's why it's, you know, it costs what it does, but it's worth every penny, man. I bought two 4-packs myself yesterday. Got to meet the owners, you know, Travis. We're talking about Mogilny. I'm thinking about that jersey you're getting.
Travis. Who was?
Oh,
that's okay. Man. I ordered a Mogilny jersey, folks. Yes, he did. 89 Captain Royal Blue. Love to see it.
Yeah, I just got an email about it. I'm sorry about that, guys. Not a surprise.
No, it's okay. But, real quick.
No, go ahead.
No, I just want to say one thing. One thing we are thinking about doing is, you know, when we do have these multiple games in a row, maybe dropping a little mini 15, 20 minute episode recap on the games. Let us know what you guys think about that. Dwayne, I got to hop on the ice here before the game. Hopefully only going to miss the first period. I'm on the ice 6-8 here. Training goalies, helping the goalies of tomorrow. Got to love it. 2 goalies, 1 mic. I'm Johnny Cullen. Dwayne, any last thoughts?
Go Sabres, you know.
Go Bills, go Sabres.
Go Sabres.
This is a big one tonight. Hopefully the Sabres can pull it off here and get things back on track. Dwayne, absolutely. It's been a pleasure as always. Looking forward to next week's episode with an interview with Sanaya Supergi, former athletic reporter, former Toronto Star reporter, close friend of mine. She's great. Go Bills, go Sabres. For Dwayne Stenell, I'm Johnny Cullen. This has been episode 45 of 2 Goalies, 1 Mic, brought to you by Froth Brewing.
My heart is under arrest again. Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first five episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all three of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.